Now, in recent years, the world has seen a molecular revolution. We can now read the complete DNA code for a human being in just days. It took the Human Genome Project a decade and billions to do the same thing as we do now in a laboratory in next to no time. And the same technology can also be applied to other organisms, including microbes. Now, Lexi Drummond from the University of Auckland uses this very technology to work out where organisms have come from. So how do you do this?
Specifically, we do research ourselves on viruses, HIV, hepatitis C, influenza. And those viruses are particularly interesting because they're examples of what we call measurably evolving populations. I mean, influenza 2 years ago to today, there's been about 1% evolution. So the genomes are 1% different now than they were just 2 years ago. Now, that's about the same difference as between humans and chimpanzees, and it's happened in 2 years. So we're talking about a million times faster than things like us are evolving. And so that creates a huge problem, and one of the reasons we don't have any vaccine for influenza yet, we get a flu jab, which each year, which is designed for that season and actually doesn't work very well because it's already moved on a bit from when we designed that flu jab. And so this is a major issue, obviously, and one that our software tries to track and help.
What sorts of things are you able to wind the genetic clock back on to sort of work out when they came from? If I asked you, for example, where you think HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, came from and how long ago, could you apply your sort of technology to the virus, work out how fast it's evolving, and then wind its genetic clock back?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the first sort of major applications of the software that that we've developed. It's now fairly well established that the HIV strains that are circulating in humans today had about four or five origins, all from Africa around 100 years ago. And they didn't come into, for instance, the Americas until about the 60s or 70s, based on genetic evidence. But that was still 10 or 15 years before we recognized that there was such a thing as HIV and that it was the cause of AIDS. And part of the reason for that is because you don't die from the HIV virus, you die from pneumonia or something else because it destroys your immune system. And it takes 10 or 15 years for that to happen. So a lot of people would have had HIV in the late 60s and the 70s in the US and were undiagnosed and probably died undiagnosed.
But 100 years ago is not very long for a virus of the sort of impact that HIV has had to have occurred. Mm-hmm. So where did it come from then, 100 years ago, to pop up out of existence?
HIV is related to the simian immunodeficiency viruses, SIVs, which are found in many different species of monkeys and apes in Africa. And so there's, like I said, at least four major introductions into humans and probably hundreds actually that got into one human but never continued to spread within humans. So this is constantly happening. We're having cross-species transmissions. And what the genetic data tells us is where and at what time the ones that have been successfully able to spread have come from.
We're talking romantic interludes here? I'm sorry to ask the dumb question, but...
Well, one of the major things that's happening in Africa right now is that there's an increase in bushmeat trade. And bushmeat trade is people going in to find food from wild sources within the jungle, and what you get is contact between blood, essentially most of the time, blood-to-blood contact, eating wild game that is infected is one of the ways that you can get HIV. It's also the way that probably Ebola sometimes has been getting into.
I was going to ask you about this. This is a very modern kind of current threat, isn't it, with Ebola, the worst outbreak we've ever seen this year currently occurring in Africa of Ebola. So what does your research reveal about where that may have come from and how old that is?
So the Ebola that's currently spreading in Guinea and a few other countries is genetically related to Ebola Zaire, which was the first identified human outbreak was in 1976. So we've known about this genetic strain for almost 40 years now, and the outbreaks have been occurring, small outbreaks of a few hundred cases every 5 or 10 years since then. And to put that in perspective, Ebola is a fairly typical RNA virus. It evolves maybe 10 times slower than HIV or influenza. Its evolutionary rate is, say, 1% change in 10 or 15 years. It's about the same as measles. Now, the other thing to put in perspective is, although maybe a couple of thousand people in that 40 years have died from Ebola, influenza kills 500,000 a year. AIDS-related illness takes 1.4 million people per year.
Is there an idea that Ebola, though, could speed up? So could Ebola become incredibly virulent?
Typically, actually, when a virus comes into a new species, the pattern is for virulence to decrease, not increase. But in terms of the evolutionary rate, this is really determined by sort of fundamental features of how the virus translates and how it's spread and the way it copies its genome. And these things don't change over time. So we know a lot about Falaviridae, the group of viruses that Ebola comes from. And that pattern of 1% per 10, 15 years, we now have data from 76, from the 80s, the 90s, 2002, 2006, and this latest outbreak. And it's very clear what the pattern of the evolution of that virus is. And I think probably the only reason we don't have a vaccine for it is because in the scale of things, it hasn't been a major disease compared to many of these other ones.
Where did it come from in the first place?
It's not naturally a human virus. It's a virus that has some sort of wild animal reservoir. You can find Ebola in monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas, but they also get disease. So it's probably not their natural reservoir either. They get very bad disease. It's most likely that it comes from fruit bats. A number of different species of fruit bats have been found to have Ebola virus within them in, at high prevalence, and they are asymptomatic. So it very much looks like a virus that's adapted to them. It's not very good for a virus to kill off its host. It makes it hard for it to spread well. And Ebola doesn't spread well in humans because it's got such a high rate of lethality.
Really briefly, are you going to be able to predict in the future what's happening? Sound like you've nailed looking back. What about the future in under 30 seconds?
So I think influenza is the main one that we want to predict, and it comes every season to New Zealand anew from the airways, you know, landing in Auckland or Christchurch. So we also know a huge amount about the molecular structure of that virus and the proteins, how they fold. So I think in those cases where we've got huge amounts of data and we know a lot about how the virus actually functions to infect the cells, we do have chances to predict these things.
Thanks, Alexei. Alexei Drummond from the University of Auckland.